How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen, hello.
Hello. Oh, your voice sounds very caramelly today, Tom.
Does it?
Yeah.
It might be the pure caramel I drink before I come on.
Delish. Mm,
might be. Might be. I mean, might not be.
You're not that into sweet stuff, are you?
No, but I realise now when I get a bit of a sugar low, I do crave like a cake or something. I quite like sweet. I do have a sweet-ish tooth.
I see you more as a savoury kind of guy.
Bitter. Is that what you mean?
That's what I mean. A bitter.
A bit.
What does bitter... Does that mean please in German?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
That's how I see you. Please, please.
Ein Bier bitter. Dankeschön.
Dankeschön.
Yeah. Oh, Suze, have you been having a lovely week?
What have I been doing? Yes, I had a nice bank holiday. I had the day off. Fancy that.
Oh, Susie, having a day off, I find sometimes quite challenging. What did you do?
My mum came. Oh. So it was filled with mum, Auntie Jack.
Oh.
And we just had a little mooch about.
Did
took
you?
The baby to the park. Had right. There's a great cafe down the road that do a really nice quiche Lorraine. Is it Lorraine or Lorraine? It's Lorraine, isn't it?
Well,
I always make it
Lorraine,
French. Would you? Lorraine. A quiche Lorraine. And that
Whatever
was very nice. Very cheesy, which I'm very into.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Lovely.
Very nice indeed.
With a bit of bacon in it.
Yeah.
Mm, delish. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a villager now, aren't I? I live in a village. I'm basically
one
of the village people.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Did people come up and say hi? Is it that sort of vibe in the village?
Yeah, very much sort of like, hello, how are you? You know, that sort
that's
of. You'd like it.
I like that a lot.
I would say the age demographic, I would say the average age here is 67.
Perfect.
Maybe 64. I feel like it would be very much up your boulevard.
Oh, yeah, I'd love
lots
that.
Lots of people chit chat, lots of people with small dogs.
Oh,
that
great.
That sort of thing, Tom.
Mm, lovely. Oh, I'd love that. I would
really
love
would.
That.
You would. You must come. You simply must.
Mm, I would, yeah. That's my dream, really, is to be a sort of 67-year-old living in a village.
I think that that's something that you can have. Just it
maybe.
Would be in a few years' time.
Mm.
It would be in around 27 years' time.
Well, I've always just loved...
28
years' time. Okay. It's great. Well, it's always one of those things that I've always wanted is to live in, like, a community of some sort where people know each other.
Like Midsummer.
Yes, that sort of thing. Murders, lots of amateur dramatics and real dramatics. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds dreamy to me.
That's what I think. But
we had a slumber party this week, didn't we, Tom?
Oh, we did. It was so nice. You came to stay with me.
I did. I loved it. I love staying at Tom's. It's so
well,
nice.
Well, I haven't changed the sheets, Suze.
So I can come back whenever
come back
I like.
Come back anytime you like. But I did wash the towels. Don't worry. I did wash the towels.
Fine.
Because you left them by the washing machine with so thoughtful. Although I would
of
have probably
course I did.
Given them to someone else. I wouldn't. If you stay with me, I wouldn't do that.
You can guarantee clean towels.
That's what they call
that
it.
That bed is dreamy, Tom.
Oh,
it's like a cloud.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, I like a soft mattress, don't I? I don't like any of that hard nonsense that people go for.
No. It was very pleasing.
Oh, good.
Loved it. Woke up in the middle of the night, had a wander around your house.
You did, didn't you? I'm sorry I turned all the lights off. I feel like I should have left a little lamp on.
I then turned a light on. It was fun.
Yes, I suppose that's the thing with switches, isn't it?
Yeah, you can turn... It wasn't like you'd cut the power.
I should have done.
Too right. Had a little mince around your house. Loved it.
Oh, great. Oh,
watched you sleep, just stood standing over the bed.
Of course. That's the way I sleep best.
Being watched. Being watched.
Yeah. No, it was so lovely. I loved having you here. It was nice. We went for a walk around the block. Yes, some offer.
Walk through the graveyards. Love looking walking through a graveyard, Tom.
Oh, yes, it's a nice graveyard there, isn't it?
Yeah, very I like looking peaceful. At all the names.
Oh, yeah, there's some good names.
Yeah. Looking at all the names, seeing all the old-fashioned...
It's a very old church. I think it's the oldest bit is about 1,000 years old, that church.
Yeah, there's a bit on the wall with lots of people's names on it. And I didn't know whether that was... I couldn't quite work out what it was. And I didn't know if it was, like, all the names of people whose, like, graves might have been... Or is it something to do with the war?
Or it might be cremation. I don't. It might be cremated and their ashes scattered there. I don't.
That's
know.
That's very true,
I'll
Tom.
I'll ask them.
But I, someone there was the organist was having a practice.
Oh, was they?
Was they? And they were, and it was very charming. Bird singing, similar to where I'm living right now. Two old people on a bench said hello. I think they could have been ghosts.
They probably were. Oh, how nice.
Good for them.
Good for them. So difficult, isn't it, to find meaning in a day? What do you do? It's very difficult.
Do you know, I've just finished a book called Conversations on Love.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
By Natasha Lunn, who I don't know. Not suggesting that I do know, because you know how I'm friends with all the authors.
Otherwise, normally you won't read a book unless you
know the author. No, I won't. Well, I've only read your book. That's
quite right. That's the best way to be. That way, you know.
But, and that's mainly just to see if I'm in it, you know. But I wasn't in this book. And I think it's mainly because I don't
know.
You
haven't read all of it?
No, I don't mean your book, love. I mean
In this one. Oh, I was going to say, I thought you haven't read all the new one.
No, but I also don't expect a whole chapter just about
character me. Character assassination, yeah.
So she started wearing suits and ties. I can't abide it. When will this woman leave me alone? She hounds me.
She's upstairs right now. No, not at all.
Standing over me while I'm sleeping.
Why?
It's a book about the different kinds of love that you have in your life and how... I mean, I'm really going to sort of like do a ham-fisted version of what it's about, but I finished it last night and I really enjoyed it.
Ham-fisted is actually my book about love.
But is it? I thought you were going to say it's your grinder name.
Not anymore. Too many vegans.
Yeah. So, but it's about how sort of love and suffering go hand in hand.
Oh, you know,
you don't really have one without the other. And it's about sort of the highs and lows of life, and it's conversations with people who have loved and who have lost and who've you know, and about for how friendships are love and how, you know, some of the book is about sort of romantic love and how that's important in one sense, and then how some other people would just prioritize friendship and how, you know, in our society that's not really seen as important, but it really is. And so she speaks to people that have friendships that not necessarily replace their romantic love, but they don't necessarily feel a need for it on top of that. And and how love changes and how love changes with your parents as you get older. I really enjoyed it. And that's how I'm finding meaning in a day at the moment. I'm trying to really be in the present.
Oh, Susie.
What do you think about that?
Well, I love that. And I think that's such a, what an interesting insight as well. I think that... that's very impressive. Do you find that's a challenge, though, living in the moment? Because I think sometimes when people say living in the moment, I just get drunk because I go, that's what I want to do now.
Is it because you're like, make every moment matter? The best way it can matter is with a brandy in my hand.
Make every moment fun and silly. And then sometimes, not always get drunk. But I don't know. I don't know how to live in the moment, really.
Well, I think it's for me... It's not having my phone attached to my hand.
I see.
It's like as simple as that. It's right. Like when I was at yours and I was like, right, I'm going to go for a little walk. And I had a podcast in. And then when I realised that there was someone, like, I don't know whether they were practising on the organ or what, but it was I could half make out a hymn, I thought. And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to take my headphones out and just listen.
Oh,
rather than, because most of the podcasts I listen to are about like the news and they're... dreadfully sad. So I was like, why don't I listen to something just in the air? Just be in the moment. And I'm trying to do that on stage as well.
Oh, that's good too.
Which I think is, you know, when you watch someone that's like really in the moment and they can deviate from their sort of prepared material. But you do that very well because you're very good at talking to the audience. Does that sound like a really wanky thing to say that I'm trying to be in the moment? Or is that...
No, not at all. I think it's something that people struggle with well, I know I struggle with it, and it gets bandied around of like, just live in the moment. When people put just before anything, I'm always irritated. But, you know, it's we're not conditioned to live in the moment through primal instinct and through everything in our culture. It's kind of like, look at over there, look at over here, and look at... I talk to my therapist a lot about codependency, and I think that's a lot to do with basing your own... again, I'm ham-fisting this, but that's sort of basing your identity elsewhere, i.e., in the in the feeling, in the opinions of other people, essentially.
Yeah.
So I think, and you know, I think essentially, primarily, we've always been like how we perceive threats, and we worry about things to come, and that's the human instinct, isn't it? A lot of the time. To
yeah, but I think that can be part of it, in as much as like noticing things.
For sure.
Do you know what I mean? Do you ever do that where you've like walked somewhere and you're like, oh, I didn't take any of that in?
Oh.
So I'm so busy like looking at
my
phone or being on a call or doing something else. So I think I'm just trying to be a bit more like that. That's what
I think I sometimes beat myself up because I'm not doing that enough. And then in not doing that enough, I do it less.
I think it's like taking half an hour for you to go and play your piano.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like that can be it.
Yeah, that's true. Like, well, I think actually art, whatever form it takes, whether it's music, going to the theatre, going to a gig, watching a gig, you know, being part of something, it just, like you say, fundamentally makes you put your phone down.
Yeah.
Because the phone is either emailing about something to come, texting to apologise.
Texting to say, sorry, I'm late.
Sorry, I'm late, in the future, which is in the future and the past. And then just sort of, or going on social media to look at other people.
Yeah. And it's so, yeah, it's so unnecessary, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so unnecessary. So that's what I'm trying to do. Just
Susie,
reading
I'm
that
so
book.
Impressed.
Well, do I don't know whether you ought to be impressed, Tom, because I don't know how well I'm doing it.
No, but that's
I'm just
not,
trying
no,
to
that's
notice
not what it's
about. It. I'm just trying to notice it a bit more.
That's good.
Because I'm like, what am I getting from all of these things?
Well, that's very
all these external things.
Well, I think that's a good wake up. And I feel like I've been having that a lot lately, that sense of what is, it sounds very deep, everybody, but what is the point? But like, not in a bad way, but just like, how do we find meaning in something?
Well, this is a lot of what this book's about.
Oh, right.
I'm going to send you a copy.
I would like that soon.
I'm going to post you a copy, Tom. Get ready.
Because I finished the last sort of bits of my book editing on Friday and sent it off.
Oh, do you feel sort of a sense of relief now that it's done?
Well, yes, a sort of closure on that, but at the same time not. But a sense of, yeah, that having a bit more sort of space where I'm not going...
The book!
Oh, the book, yeah, I want to make the book better all the time, which I think is a natural thing. But just sort of going, oh, now I've got a bit more space. But I mean,
I think that's the thing though with creativity. Now, did I say this the other week on the podcast?
Doesn't matter.
No, I don't think so.
People listen when they're asleep.
It's fine. About never finishing. About the tennis. About the tennis player saying, "Is this coming back to you at all?"
Go on, maybe.
Well, I think art's very similar. There's a very famous tennis player. Joe something maybe from years and years and years
Steffi
ago
Graf.
Who said Steffi Graf, who said, I never lost a match, the time always ran out.
Oh yes, that's lovely, isn't it?
Did I tell you that before? I might have told you that already,
but you might have told me in person. We
that's
do have conversations away
seen?
From this podcast. That's
we have.
The problem. We must stop that.
We must stop that. We had a nice train journey, didn't we, Tom?
Oh, that was lovely, that train journey.
Lovely,
both,
actually,
both ways actually, but
both
on the way
ways.
Back was very fun. We had a nice chat with the with the people on the
Stuart,
train. Stuart,
Lorraine, and Callum.
Yes,
is that it?
Yeah, well done, Suze. Yeah.
Thanks. It's only because I really had to. I looked at their badges.
Well,
that's.
I had a glass of wine, and then I couldn't really.
I had two glasses of wine, Tom.
Did you, Susie?
Yeah.
And then do you remember there was someone playing that? That was quite an in the moment point because someone was playing the piano in the station. Then when we got in the taxi, we asked the driver to play the piano. The Rack
true.
2, as I believe it was, they were playing. The Rackmanov
Concerto. Yes, someone was amazing at the piano at like midnight.
At Euston, yeah. It was a real treat, actually. I thought it was rather wonderful. I kind of wish we'd Well, if we'd asked him about why he was there, he would have stopped playing.
So, that's true. Excuse me, who are you?
Stop a minute. It was really beautiful. And of course, used extensively in my favourite film, Brief Encounter.
Yes, of course. Of the third kind? No.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And then we put it in the cab on the way home. It was so nice.
Was nice. Yeah, that was nice. But sometimes being in transit, I can find myself quite in the moment.
Well, I think that it's a good way of being like, no one can get hold of me. That's why you like long flights, isn't it?
I love a long flight. Sorry, I'm on the plane.
I'm like, I can't possibly answer. But now they've got bloody Wi-Fi on the plane.
I hate that.
No!
Don't care for that one bit.
I just want to sit here and watch a David Attenborough documentary whilst I doze.
Oh, would that be your go-to, a David Attenborough documentary?
I would probably go for a movie, a film at some point, and then I might go for something like a documentary that I feel like I can dip in and out of. I mean, some people would probably say you shouldn't dip in out of documentaries. You should be taking them in.
People like those nature ones, but I find them a bit depressing, especially when it's like an animal eating another animal.
There is a bit of that, but that does happen, Tom.
I know. I just don't want to think about it. I just want it all to be like Disney.
What, where they're all like friends and dancing?
Yeah, when they come in and help me make the bed. Not when they get, you know, eaten by a crocodile violently.
But yeah, I mean, there are some that are... I mean, and also all of the David Attenborough ones at the moment are like... This is because of climate change. Look what you've done.
Oh, yes.
You're like, oh, but I'm not... I don't own Shell.
Well, that is another... I mean, what do we think about that? Because I was getting really stressed out about the news. I think a lot of us do tend to. But then, through various conversations, was pointed out to me, well, it's not... The news isn't going, well, what are you going to do about soaring inflation? I'm like, I don't know. I can... maybe I should speak to somebody. I don't know. But it's like, it's not in my... gift to control it. You know, like so many things in the news, it's like I don't know what I can do other than try and just be aware of it. You know what I mean? But the news sets it out as like, well, what have you done today about it? You haven't done anything, have you? You lazy.
Do you think that's the problem with... I often feel like that about rolling news. The fact that we've got rolling news and we've got it on our phones and we've got it, you know, it just means that... I mean, I don't know this, but like during wartime, presumably there would have just been like bulletins and like news twice a day.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, and then round the horn and...
Yes. Round the horn. Some sort of lovely play.
Yes. Yeah, some sort of afternoon play about a soldier, probably. It's really for still now.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
I think like the constant... The fact that news is so constant now means that you don't actually have time to be like, and now I'm just going to live my life.
Well, yeah, I think that's very true. And I think like my dad would have been like, stop worrying about it. Just don't worry about it. You can't do anything about it. Just enjoy yourself. Live your life. It's kind of true, isn't it? But yet the nature of the news, and I suppose social media, where people kind of like, this... It can feel a bit like, oh, yes, I should be across that as well. But maybe that's just apathy on my part. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm apathetic. I'm quite aware.
No, I don't think you're apathetic. But I also think that... I'm talking about this on stage a bit at the moment. You can only do what you can do in, like, your corner of the world.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't solve, you know, the climate crisis. And I can't solve the food of living crisis. All I can do is sort of... make a donation or put on a comedy gig to raise some funds for something. You know, and I think that's the thing. I think there's only so much that, like, you know, you can do as much as you can. You know, but I think that the constant, like, dread of everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, well, what... I actually, to be totally honest, I find that I'm more use in like, putting on something or doing a show... when raising funds, you know, when I'm actually not so paralysed by watching the news.
Well,
I find it paralysing.
I think that's the trouble, isn't it? And I think Graham Norton made an interesting point at the RTS Awards where he got the big achievement award. But he said, he said to television producers, don't give up on light entertainment. Because people need that to give them the escapism, so they've got the strength to go back and deal with serious things. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it gets seen like that sort of flippancy and yeah. levity, sort of seen as you're not taking things seriously. But in truth, I've always said comedy isn't about laughing at things. It's about sort of learning to deal with, it's learning to cope with things. It's learning,
yeah.
you know, some people joke for laughter. Some people joke for survival. But it's I think that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I really agree with that about sort of light entertainment and there needing to be a like an off switch or yeah. a reset button where you can be like, okay, I'm not going to think about the grimness. Well, but I feel like if I, like when I spoke to my nan, like nan was, you know, she was there for in Portsmouth for all of the war, which was very heavily bombed. And yeah. my granddad was away for all of it, served the whole of the war. Mm. I mean, amazing that he made it back, really. And, you know, when she would talk about what they'd get up to during the war, like, obviously, there would have been days that would have been really frightening and it would have been really stressful and it would have been horrific. But also, I feel like there was lots of joy. Mm. Like, she would talk about, like, going to the pub and her nan owned a beer house. And there'd be lots of people there and soldiers would come in and they'd always give them sort of, you know, a free half and they would tell stories about where they'd been and there was a real sense of sort of camaraderie and people coming together and people would put on little shows and,
yeah,
you know, that sort of, I don't know, I guess Blitz spirit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Quite literally Blitz spirit.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's, I don't know, that is sort of what light entertainment is, in having that hopefulness.
Well,
there's,
yeah.
there's a way out.
Yeah, I think so. Otherwise,
what's the fucking point?
What's the point, you know? And there's your meaning right there. On social media, I sometimes wonder, the people who are very keen to share negative news, you know, I sometimes wonder, is that because you really care about the news, or just because you want to be a bit of a hero?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Do you mean
people
like,
that are letting us all know what they're doing and what they're up to? And
yeah, how great they are. And I sometimes, that's very harsh of me, listeners. I'm sorry, but sometimes, not always. But I think that was all, those, that sort of voice has always been there as well. Like, I think they're always like doomsayers, naysayers.
Yeah,
in the war.
I'm
and,
sure.
And, you
yeah.
know, the sort of classic like air raid warden.
Yes.
Making everyone turn their light out and say, oh, they're not caring about the war effort. You know, people sort of shaming each other into suggesting they're not doing enough.
Yeah. People have always, terrible people have always existed. That's what I want us to remember.
Well, I always thought that during the pandemic as well, the way people be like, oh, I went to the park today. There were so many people out and they're clearly not all in the same household. And they're, you're like, you don't know that. Like,
no,
you're in the park as well.
You're
in the park as well. You're like, you don't know their situation. But everyone was like so keen. Like all those newspapers like, look at all these people on the beach. And they showed it from above when they were like, actually, they were all spaced out, but they take it from low down where it looks like everybody's crammed on top of each other. And you go like, well, you don't know what their situation is. Maybe they lost somebody to COVID and they treated themselves to a day out to the beach. And it's all this like, look at them. How dare they? I can't stand all of that sort of voice. Is that?
Yeah. I think it's so undignified.
It's undignified there. And there's a meaning to have. Dignity, please.
Isn't there a song called Dignity?
Well, Whitney Houston, no matter what they take from me, they can't take away from my dignity. They can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is the love inside
of
us all.
For oneself,
Yeah, for oneself, yeah.
Yeah.
And the children are our future.
Well,
unless they're really noisy in a public place.
And then you think.
Then I think, what sort of future
going,
is this?
All these kids, where are they from? Blah, 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 blah.
Some kids did get on the train actually last week. Do you remember that? See, that's the thing. We forget all the negatives, which is good.
Yeah, actually, they were very well behaved. I think
they were, at first, I was like, oh God, we want to have a serious adult conversation here. And now we've got children screaming. But actually, they were very well behaved.
And then one of the little girls said to her brother, who was watching something on the phone, saying, turn that down. The other people don't want to listen to what you're doing. And I thought, I like her immediately.
She should be prime minister. Now, Suze, are we going to share a listener correspondence before we say goodbye?
Oh, yes, of course.
I'm thinking about getting, not a burner phone. What are they called? Those phones where they're not an iPhone. They just have, they're just like what are they called?
Well, I was going to say, I think a burner phone is what drug dealers use, no?
Ah, that's not what I want. No, sorry. Made my mistake. Always doing that, aren't I? But one of those phones where it's just an old-fashioned phone with texting and
Yes, I think that you should do that. I think that'd be very good.
Be quite nice, wouldn't it, just to be out and about?
Yes. Yes, I think that'd be very good.
Sort of feel untethered. Any listeners tried that, let us know.
Yes, do get in touch if you've got a burner phone. Hi, Susie and Tom. I've only just discovered your blog, so I'm catching up on episodes. Oh, Tom. Ooh. I love people calling it a blog. Mm. Needless to say, I love it. But the Reassurance Hotline episode needs a health warning. I nearly choked on my M&S cheese and pickle sandwich. I was laughing so hard. Ooh. The less than congratulatory audience responses, oh, to your early gigs, were absolutely hilarious. I think pickle might have come out of my nose. You're legends. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's so nice.
And that's from Devon, who says, I'm a woman, not obvious by the name. Thanks, Devon. Well,
I assumed it was from everybody in Devon.
Well, so, I would hope to think so.
Yeah. Oh, but, oh, that's so nice. Oh, thank you very much, Devon. What a lovely name.
What a lovely name. Should we have one more?
Let's have one more, Susie.
Okay. Dearest Susie and Tom, Will, your basic Clapham gay here again. Very pleased to hear there was unanimous agreement on the use of voice-activated speakers at dinner parties from my last correspondence.
Oh,
hi, Will.
Thanks for getting back in touch. Great to hear from you.
Just wanted to say I had the enormous pleasure of seeing you both perform recently, both at the Soho Theatre. Love that place. Tom last month, and hilarious as always. Thanks for the compliments about my suit and suggesting that I was looking thin during the show. Oh. I'm sure the audience greatly enjoyed you trying to guess what area of finance I work in for a significant portion of the show. Works
Two
in
hours.
Fine. Works in finance, further confirmation of the basic. No, this week I saw Susie in one of her work in progress gigs, which was so funny. I brought a date with me. We were sat in the front row to your left, if you notice. I know exactly who that was. Unfortunately, after this being our fifth date, it didn't work out. Susie, I won't hold you responsible for being dumped 10 minutes after your show.
Gosh, 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Barely get up the stairs.
Yeah, that is. I'm so sorry. Dating can be tough. Work, but back in the world of Hinge, I guess. Next month, myself and a close friend /colleague, who's also an avid listener of the pod, are coming to see you both host the Real Variety performance. That's not the variety performance, the royal one, just so everyone's clear. It would be amazing if you had time to say hello. I promise that I won't turn into Susie in front of Mel C, though, as we're both such fans. I've rambled, you're both fabulous, and always provide a voice of reassurance and hilarity in the most heartwarming way. Hope to get to see you soon. Will, your basic Clapham gay. Bye.
Where there's a will, there's a gay.
Yes. There's the title of the episode. You're welcome, Will.
Will, thank you for getting in touch. And
Will, I'm so sorry that whatever happened at that gig...
Oh, Susie.
The relationship ended straight after. Presumably... I mean, I didn't even talk to them, but presumably the guy thought,
it's divine.
I mean, he's taking me to this, this lesbian banging on about her anxieties. Sure, she's funny enough, but...
Please, everybody would be delighted.
Tom, I'm literally encouraging heartbreak.
That's fine. It's living in the moment.
There you go. You've lived, you've laughed, you've loved.
Yeah, exactly.
You know me, living, laughing, loving.
Exactly. He leaves. What's it called? Eats, shoots and leaves.
Also, Will, yes, come find us. I'm sure there's be time to say hello. We
Do hello Will. We'd love that Will and friend.
We'd love that Will. And friend / avid listener. Right, Tom, we ought to go, hadn't we? We've been here.
Yes, dear.
We've been here for a week.
Yes.
Thomas, I love you. Listeners,
love you too.
I love you.
Great to catch up. And I better dash, but you have a lovely day living in the moment. And I know you've got a busy day as well. So, but listeners, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll speak to you next week, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Bye, bye, bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.